Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want to start a business, now is the best time. People are out and about. They are wanting to grab on to something new and interesting. And if you're wanting to start a business, there's a lot of opportunities. And I'm going to be sitting down and hopefully coaching two young men, Jack Delafamina and Nathan Katz, who are opening a new business called Bravo Toast, located in West Hollywood, California. It's right next to Cash Centers, and we're going to be getting into what's working, what may not work, and just overall have a discussion. So, Tony, thanks for joining me. Jack and Nathan, thanks for joining me.
No, thank you for having us.
Of course. So, how long have you guys been friends?
Since high school.
Yeah, we met in high school, but we grew up in the same group, right? Beverly Hills area, right over here. So, we knew each other.
10 years.
Yeah, I got 10, crazy to say 10 years, but
10 years. And so, this is your first time, Jack, running a business.
First time running a business. I was doing real estate brokerage while in school for many years, but this is my first like real venture, I'd say, with an investment and just really owning the business.
And Nathan, this is your second?
Second, yeah. A couple years ago, I dabbled in the electric scooter ride sharing service. Ended up selling that. So this is my second venture.
And you guys have decided that you're going to be selling toast. The place is called Bravo Toast. And the primary kind of item for sale is avocado toast. Is that right?
Yeah. We started this thinking that we want to make avocado toast the modern day burger and fries. You know what I mean? Like your grandparents would eat cheeseburgers every day. I mean, nowadays, I don't know, when was the last time you had a cheeseburger? Like
forever.
Yeah, exactly. Most people don't even eat meat anymore. So we really think it's going to be our staple. And we started this with one product that we thought, hey, we can sell a million avocado toasts and we can then kind of venture off and build a whole brand around it, a whole cafe.
And it's launching in what, 7 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yeah, Labor Day.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me just give you some stats because I thought it would be helpful. Because the odds are stacked against you two, right? It always feels good to go into a business and be super excited, like we're going to crush it. And the reason I wanted to sit down with both of you is I could maybe help you find some blind spots or things that could get in your way that would save you a lot of time. Because 60% of new businesses close down within a year. 60%. Can you believe that, Tony?
I cannot believe that.
And they say that more than 110,000 eating and drinking establishments in the United States closed for business last year, with nearly 2.5 million jobs erased. And a third of all restaurants in California during the pandemic closed as well. I mean, we're out of the pandemic, but it's a very tough business, you know? And I know that you come from a family of restaurateurs.
Yeah.
Right? Jack does. Yeah.
Yeah. My grandparents had a restaurant in East Hampton for about 25 years. And my dad has a couple restaurants in Los Angeles as well.
And what are the restaurants called?
My grandparents is called Delafamina. It's my last name. And then my dad's one of the co-founders of Croft Alley, which they have one in Beverly Hills and one in West Hollywood over in Melrose Place.
Got it. And in terms of partnership, are the two of you like mutual partners where you both have equal amount of authority?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're Shaq and Kobe right here. I mean,
okay. So really the business is like a kid and this is a marriage.
Totally. Yeah, 100%. Best way to describe it.
Right.
And
even though you grew up together and you know each other very well, just like a lot of people who go into business thinking, or a lot of marriages thinking this, you know, it's always funny to me at marriage, you know, at the weddings, and I don't mean to be a pessimist, but, you know, whenever they say for life, you know, what is the thing they say in the weddings? They act like they're going to be forever.
Till death do you part.
Till death do us part, yet 50% of the people don't. And I can't help but sit there whenever I go to a wedding and everyone's crying and it's so beautiful and she looks gorgeous. I think, how much are they spending on this wedding? And then also the stats mean that half of these weddings I'm going to are going to end up in a divorce.
Yeah, no, if you're looking at the stats, I mean, you might as well not get married and never start a business.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to be so focused on that.
I got you. But sometimes it's good to know, just going into it, like what would be potentially some of those areas that you both see? Because it's good, I find, to look at what could the problems be in your partnership, in your relationship. Because once money's involved in friendship, different stressors come up. Because we're dealing with safety, security, jealousy, envy, disappointment, frustration. I'm doing more than this partner, or this partner is doing more than another. So what kind of roadmap have the two of you created, or conversations, to set up this business marriage in a healthy way?
Well, I think the most important thing going into it, just like relationship, is trust. You know, I have to trust Jack, and he has to trust me with any task that we give each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you have standards. You know, I mean, just like in a marriage, you have to, if the other partner is not going to give it 100%, might as well call it off early, because we're 100% in. I mean, Nathan and I have friends who've invested in the business as well, and family invest in the business. So it was to less about us and more about our whole community. And
have you guys ever argued?
I was just about to ask that.
You were?
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah.
And what is, do you have a type of argument that happens more often than not?
I mean, no like topic in particular. I mean, we'll just get heated and, you know, just the energy and... I like to argue sometimes with things. Yeah. It helps us bounce ideas off each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
how would you differentiate what you both bring to the equation? So why don't I have you describe Nathan, Jack?
Sure.
What do you think Nathan offers? Because there's a reason you partnered.
Sure, right? Sure.
So what is it about Nathan that made you go, I'm down?
Nathan is by far one of the greatest persons I've ever met. You know, this guy still talks to people he met once when he was in kindergarten. I mean, he's amazing at dealing with
relationships.
Yeah. And he's by far one of the nicest, kindest people also. He's also, what I've learned through this business with him is that he's definitely strong-headed, in that I'll tell Nathan, I got this crazy idea, or some with a bad day or a great day. And, you know, Nathan definitely is the compass in terms of, we're on a trajectory and let's not get distracted. And he keeps me focused, really, because definitely I'll have some crazy ideas now and again and say, you know, we got to try this thing out. And that seems to be a great balance between the two of us. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
How about you, Nathan? Why are you partnering with Jack?
I mean, Jack's also just the greatest guy I've ever met. I've learned so much about him doing this whole thing. You know, when we were doing a pop-up in New York, I learned so much about his family and just where he comes from. And he's just such a genuinely amazing guy. And he's also just so, he's always thinking 10 steps ahead. And he's so motivated. And I've known this guy since high school. So I've known he's had so many jobs because he's never truly satisfied. He's always looking for the next best thing. And I feel like the same with Bravo Toast. He's always trying to get better and improve and just think ahead of the future. Like, how is this going to look in 5 years? Like, what do we have to do right now to get us to this point?
You guys are in a love fest.
I think he's the one.
So
we've gotten closer through this experience. Yeah. Too. I mean, we've known each other for so long that, you know, I mean, obviously we're best friends, and then, you know, we all went to college separate places, then we kind of came back together, and via this last year and a half, we've definitely become better friends.
And what would you say gets in the way? Do you have any concerns with Nathan whatsoever? Like,
no concerns. I mean, like I said, it's a checks and balances thing. You know what I mean? One day I can have a great idea, he might disagree with me on it, but that's the fun of it. That's like, let me try to convince Nathan to do this thing, or that's the whole process. I mean,
do you have anything with Jack where you're like,
no, I mean, just that he, like, it's not even a problem, just like that he thinks too much or like wants to do too much, but like, I think that's a good thing.
Hold up. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So, because I can tell you both are highly inspired by each other, what I would suggest to you is we differentiate a little bit of your jobs with this business, because it takes a lot to run a business. And let's just play with me on this, right? I'm not saying you have to do this, but maybe we could assign duties, right? Because at a certain point, right now you're in the phase before the business launches. Then when the business launches, it can sometimes feel like you're chasing your tail, or like, did you do this? Did you do that? And it becomes a lot of checks and balances, right? And I know you come from a family in the restaurant business, and the profit margins are pretty low. You know, they say with a lot of restaurant businesses, it can be less than 10%, right? In terms of the profit margins, depending.
Mm-hmm. Right. The beauty of our business, and again, we came at this as not necessarily restaurateurs. We came at this business of, I had a real estate background for many years, and Nathan, same with him, you went to Marshall Business School at USC. And so we didn't look at it like, oh, let's open up a restaurant. We looked at it as like, hey, we found a great piece of real estate. What's a category? What's a product that it has excellent margins, that is specialized, that's something unique? I mean, my dad being in the business for so long, always dropping nuggets of what not to do in the business. You know what I mean? We've learned from some of the mistakes of people in my family have made.
So what are some of the don'ts?
Definitely, you could have the most successful restaurant in the city. You could be making $20 million a year, but if your rent's 21, you're out of business. I'm sorry. That's one thing. Also, the number one most successful people in this business sell one thing. You look at Pink's hot dogs. Those guys sold millions of chili cheese dogs. Like Shake Shack menus, three items, really. In-N-Out Burger, same. And even now, then some of the new players like Kazunori and Sugarfish, they've become specialized in that. If you can control what you're serving, give people something classic, I think that you'll solve a lot of your problems. And you can make up a lot more margin if you know what you're making here and you keep the menu simple, really.
Okay. So it sounds like you're both giving a lot of kind of covering all the different categories together, right? And would you agree that maybe once you launch, it may be helpful to kind of separate roles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have some different roles here. I mean, Nathan definitely runs our social media with, we also have a director of communications named Ray O'Neill, who's helping us run our New York, we call it the Bravo Bungalow. It's over by in Montauk, New York, at the beach.
It's like a little beach shack, like boutique.
Who's going to oversee the finances? Like, what this or that is costing, the accounting? Have you kind of thought through like who's kind of managing the accounting firm or bookkeeper?
I was a realist. One of my many hats I wore prior to doing this was a real estate analyst. So I've been kind of leading our financial analytics side of the business.
I have an exercise I'm going to try with both of you. Can I get two pieces of paper, Tony? Okay. But you can't look at each other's answers.
Sure.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you questions about who do you think's more fit for this part of the business? And where you're not going to be talking to each other. And I'm just curious if there's any difference of like, hey, I would be better at this, or he would be better at that, because I think it may be a little telling for how you perceive each other.
It's good. So, interesting. Fun exercise. Sounds like a fun exercise. Yeah.
No cheating somehow. So you're going to turn a little this way, Nathan.
Sure, here, go like this.
No, Nathan's going to turn this way. Jack, you're going to go this other way with your body. Yes. Yes, that's perfect. You can move the mic, though. So
I like
that. Yeah. Oh, way. Yeah. Oh, that's a good turn.
Don't want to hit the mic.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you're only going to choose one, right? So you can't go both of us. We're just doing this exercise for just one of you is overseeing it. Okay. So marketing of the brand Bravo Toast. That's the first question. Can you keep track of these questions? That way we go through them, Tony.
Yes.
So the first one is marketing of the brand. The second is hiring employees. The third, dealing with landlord. Fourth, dealing with unhappy customers. Fifth, dealing with investors. Sixth, quality of the product. Number seven, customer experience. What other questions do you have, Tony, for the two of them?
I'm trying to think. We have seven so far.
We should top it off with three more. Look at it. It's so funny. Jack's like peering over at Nathan's paper. There's the customer experience. There's accounting. Who's dealing with the accounting of the business? That'd be eight.
Sure. Accounting?
Yeah.
Growth strategy?
New ideas for growth strategy.
Yeah.
I think we already know the answer to that. Based upon what they told us, but you never know. And lastly, in number 10...
I know you said hiring employees. What about when it comes to firing or letting go of employees? Yeah,
firing employees. Number 10, firing employees.
Can we pull straws for that one?
Yeah, I think that's nose goes.
So let's just go through these one by one. So the first one, Tony, what's the question? This is how well do you know each other going into business?
Oh, no. Am I
scared? Number one is marketing.
Marketing of the brand.
I said Nathan.
I did me.
Okay. So they both said Nathan. That's fantastic. So you're
going to oversee the marketing.
Number one. Number two.
Number two is hiring employees.
I said Jack.
I said Nathan.
Okay. So that's the... No, well, this is great. Good. I think no, this is good, great because yeah. then we can take a look and decide.
We haven't had to hire any employees yet.
You will.
We will. Yeah. Like I said, we have okay. Yeah.
Because what's helpful to know, especially in California with hiring employees, is it is way more difficult than I realized in the amount of paperwork. And I actually can get you guys a lot of paperwork to save you time and following the laws of California, because every state is specific in terms of employee rights, rest breaks, overtime. Literally, you have to announce a rest break.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how we put each other, because I think hiring should be the both of us, if anything.
Yeah.
At this early of a stage.
What's the next?
Dealing with landlord.
And a Jack?
That's it, man.
Okay. Dealing with unhappy customers.
I said me.
I said Nathan, yeah.
Cool.
Dealing with investors.
I said Jack.
I said me.
Quality of the product.
Jack. I said me.
Okay. Customer experience.
Me.
I said me, but that's a group thing, totally.
Okay, customer experience.
It's definitely our, that's the number one thing in the whole business is what's the customer experience and keeping that fresh and keeping that with, making sure everybody's having an amazing experience, part of the whole team.
For sure.
Number eight was accounting.
I said Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine was new ideas for growth.
Said me.
Send me too. We want everybody to come up with new ideas.
You guys are so funny, by the way. Like, it's almost like if you don't have the same answer, you both are like defending it. We're just opening conversation.
What are you accusing us of?
There's nothing. There's no holes here. There's no holes. What was the last one, Tony?
I love it. Last one is firing employees.
I said me.
Okay, cool. So in the dating game, there was, which is fantastic, the majority, very clear. And I believe when things are very clear, there becomes less disagreements. because it's clear and we know what each other are doing and there's no like, you know, disagreements around it because it is what it is. Like you both are very clear who's talking to investors. Now there's four areas, which I suggest that we just discuss it. Now it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing because you both put yourselves or put each other or what have you, but I think it saves time down the road with either one of you going, wait a second, like I call the shots on that. When really the reality is if you get ahead of it, you won't fight about it. And at the end of the day, it's about your friendship. It's about your business being successful. And the more clear you both are, my prediction is the more successful you are. I would love for you guys to stay as my neighbors for years to come. You know, we would take over the building because yeah. I'm the whole top floor and I'm next to you and you're the rest of the bottom floor. So let's talk through this a little bit. So when I asked you both about hiring, it was you both said yourselves, right?
Or each other?
I think we said each other.
Right? Or you said each other.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did you say each other for that?
We have one other team member on our team. Her name is Ray O'Neill. She was our first employee, really. And she kind of just fell into our laps. Kind of that's also like why we haven't had this discussion quite yet. And she's been in charge of hiring people for our Montauk space as well. So it's something that hasn't quite yet come up. It's definitely on our very short-term horizon. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to have to hire some people.
Well, what hours is the business going to be open?
Starting out, we want to be 8 to 8.
8 to 8. Starting so 12-hour days.
Two 6-hour shifts, yeah.
And how, got it. So you believe that one person's going to be manning the place solo, potentially?
No, not solo, I think, but one of us will be on the premise at all times.
For 12 hours.
Well, we're... 8 to 8, again, we want to have employees higher than the next, like, you know, 8 weeks or so.
I got you. Okay, doesn't help. Cool.
Yeah, but we want one of us to be on site.
Yeah.
Especially
when one of those people are there. I got you. Sure. So someone else would be there.
Yeah.
So basically you're going to be open for 24, 36, 48, 60, 72. What is that? 84 hours a week you're open.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in terms of those hours per week, you're believing that you would have someone work initially. Is it both of you during that period of time, or are you going to employ someone?
I mean, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah,
you know,
I think we'll
day one
both be there.
If we, and we're putting all of our funding right now into making the space beautiful, and we're working with the city to get more outdoor dining seating there. And so, in the beginning, it's going to be us. It's going to be asking family and friends or our investors, hey, you know, come on down and help us out. Just get this off the ground for a little bit until we find great employees. Really,
okay. Let's say that one of you was going to head this, right? Because who you have is so important. They're a reflection of the business, totally. Right? Where are you thinking you're going to be finding potential employees?
So far, a lot of friends of ours, people in our, you know, support system we hear all the time, yeah, I have a friend or I have a sister or a cousin that wants to help with you guys, wants to work with us. And we've been saying absolutely, absolutely yes to everybody. Want to bring them in. We're just still a few weeks away from, you know, really, really, really getting down to it.
Yeah, we think our network will help us find someone.
Yeah, and my dad being in the business as well, he's got, you know, we can take a lot of his employees to it.
In LA?
In LA, yeah. He's got people, because he's been in the business now for about 8 years.
Okay.
So there's tons of people in his network as well.
And what are they going to make?
We've been budgeting out a little bit more than minimum wage. I think we budget out with insurance costs and everything, like $20 an hour.
Okay.
But I think it comes out to probably like closer to 15 at the end of the day, with tips, obviously. And we're going to be a cashless business. So, I mean, that we've looked at studies that say, oh, tips are much better when things are cashless. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how things go in the beginning. And we're also hoping our employees are passionate about something specific. Not necessarily, doesn't have to be passionate about the hospitality industry or passionate about food, because finding people who are really passionate about food and want to work in a cafe is so difficult.
Let's say Bravo Toast was a character, right? Like it's this fierce slice of bread with some amazing avocado on top of it with the right seasoning. And it has a personality, okay? And it literally walks down the street, right? And it says, what's up, guys? What's shaking? How would you describe Mr. Bravo Toast?
Are we talking about the product or the whole company?
Yeah, like I'm saying walking the product. I'm picturing if there's a mascot to the company, because I think sometimes it's helpful to really go, here is the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was to like meet you. And that's a good way to kind of go, all right, this is a really good fit, right? Because some people are hard workers, but they're not a good look. Or some people are really social, but they have bad boundaries. Or they'll air out too much, right? So how would you describe, if we were going to make a character Mr. Bravo Toast, mm-hmm. how would you describe him?
I think very warm and welcoming.
He'd be the best dressed guy in the room for sure. I mean, he's, you know, definitely has a good fashion sense and some style.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's kind of been like, again, we're looking for people passionate about anything.
No, talk to me about Mr. Toast.
Mr. Please. Toast, well, though, Bravo yes. Is, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Bravo.
So he's got good style. He's warm. He's welcome.
Inviting. Yeah. Always mm-hmm. has a smile on his or her face. Mm.
He knows the newest, coolest things. The song that has been released, he's heard. He puts you on to the newest brands, the newest artists in town. I mean, that's who Bravo
is. He's a trendsetter.
Yeah, exactly.
Total.
He's a total trendsetter.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Okay. And what is it like? I mean, he's warm when you meet him, but it's almost a little bit like when somebody's too much of a trendsetter, you know, us nerds sometimes get, you know, thrown off by that, right? We're like, this person's not that approachable.
He's an educator. He wants to educate people on the newest, coolest thing. He wants to improve people's lives.
Mm-hmm, not too hot-headed or anything. Yeah. He's very humble.
What isn't he?
He isn't pretentious.
Okay.
He's not disingenuous. You know, I mean, he's definitely authentic. And he isn't trying too hard to be something he's not. He knows who he is. And he's comfortable with that. You know, he's not trying to be this.
Talk to me about his values. I mean, he grew up in a very rough part of town, but survived.
It's a rack,
like, you know, like sourdough was coming for him and rye and, you know, but all of a sudden he's risen. You know, and
he's a rags to riches man. I mean,
so what are his values like?
Kind of
trustworthy.
Yeah. Of course, kind of what we talked about just now. I mean,
about each other.
Yeah. Well, right? Everything. Yeah. Totally. I
mean, okay. So
respectful.
So my suggestion to you is, and we did this very briefly, was helping you kind of start to look for a lens at which you hire for, so that you make sure that they fit in this brand that is Bravo, Mr. Bravo Toast, right?
Yeah.
And that way it's a quicker way to differentiate, because you may really love someone and hear they're amazing, but because you're so small, they got to be cool and they got to be a trendsetter, right? Like, but not pretentious and welcoming and warm and trustworthy. And these are all descriptions when you start the interviewing process, which there's two ways to go about it, right? I've hired a lot of family and employees. I've hired hundreds of people through the years, and I've helped a lot of companies. It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's great because it's just right there. Oh my gosh, the universe is just giving me somebody's cousin. On the other hand, this is a business. And it sucks when the cousin, who you have kind of a cool relationship with, is not great, and you don't find out till 2 months down the road, because it's very hard to keep the same staff as you're a startup, and there's stress, there's ideas, things are disorganized from time to time. It's a bit chaotic. It's an exciting, chaotic spread. I just keep thinking of a metaphor of a loaf and yeast and everything else. But there's two ways to go about it, and I would encourage you to go both routes. You know, there's a lot of websites where you can get different people that way. And I do recommend that you both do the interviewing together initially, until you've really figured out your system and you have a discussion around it. But I think that you could start to create a framework or structure in terms of your hiring. Does that make sense where I'm going with it?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
It's definitely. I mean, that's like something we need for sure.
And mm-hmm. and maybe one of you can kind of drive it, maybe assign it to one of you, so that person's also going to be looking at to the HR legal proper paperwork. I can certainly recommend different like ADP or different payroll services, because I initially, when I started my businesses, didn't realize
how many cash.
Huh?
You paid cash in the beginning?
I didn't realize how many laws there are for employees. I had no idea. Like, there's thousands of laws that you have to follow, and some of them make no sense for your particular industry, but you have to follow them. And so I think it's really wise to figure out who's going to be managing that. Unless this falls under the umbrella of your dad's company, then you don't have to worry about it.
No, this is our own thing, totally separate from that. But
so for who could kind of run with it now, do you feel like? Because I'll even connect you with Samson from my office. He'll get you.
Well, to be honest, it's the hardest thing in the business from what I'm hearing from family in the business is finding good people. There's a real shortage of hospitality workers right now, especially in LA or California, and with unemployment, and a lot of people left the industry and found other jobs. So there's a gaping hole. That's why pay is going up for a lot of employees as well.
The other thing to keep in mind too is we have our center next door. A lot of those people are looking for work and getting back on their feet.
Send them over.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, highly motivated. They're going to be so grateful, and a lot of them are really bright and passionate. On the other hand, you know, there are people who have had a lot of challenges. But then again, you could hire someone and they have a lot of challenges and you don't even know. So, I mean, I would suggest that you kind of have a variety of family, friends, and some people you don't know.
Outside of our circle.
Obviously, we've gone down the path of working with family and friends, and a lot of times it doesn't work out. And it changes the dynamic of the friendship. You know,
Nathan, you've had that experience, right?
Well, I had in my first business, and also, I mean, Bravo Toast, it was originally three of us.
Oh.
Yeah.
One of, you know, a guy who was both of our best friends, mm-hmm, really.
Since high school as well.
We were really, really close. And unfortunately, it's just,
it didn't work out.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend anybody go in business with their friends. Honestly.
I
love that. We're best friends. I wouldn't recommend anyone go into business with their best friends. Why didn't it work out?
It was great in the beginning, but he was also a little wild card, and I just don't think that Bravo was his number one priority like it was for us. It
wasn't 100%. Yeah. 110% is what me and Nathan are.
This is like an everyday thing, and he didn't see it. He saw it more as a once or twice a week kind of thing. And so, you know, if we were just taking money from friends and family, and it's a big deal. And so.
So did you buy him out?
We did.
Got it.
I have a question. You guys seem like amazing friends. You guys, literally, you guys are going to be great business partners in the future. Right now, as of now, what's more important, the friendship or this business?
It's a great question. Yeah. And we discuss that all the time whenever we have issues, we fight as friends and we fight as business partners and, you know, or disagree. So it's depends on the day. I mean, obviously, I think friendship is first, but at the moment, our investors are first.
You know, yeah.
Those people who we care about right now, making sure they're taken care of, our future employees, making sure they're taken care of and happy. I mean, at the moment, our friendship seems to be last in line, but still something that we care about and treasure and know that is the secret sauce to what we've created here. I mean,
I like that.
Yeah, better businesses are created. Sorry, better friendships are created through business than businesses through friendships is what the old adage is.
Well, I'm still on this one point of who is going to be responsible for who's going to drive hiring. Let's just assign it if we can.
You want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll take it.
You want to take it?
Yeah.
What I'll do, Nathan, is I'll get you connected with our team just to give you, it'll save you a lot of time with hiring. Unless you've already done it and
it's on our short-term horizon.
It will save you a lot of time, but Nathan is going to be overseeing hiring. I love how you both assigned it to each other, though. You both didn't want to do it.
No, I think it's a fun part of the process.
Yeah, I think...
I know Nathan, as I said earlier, he's an amazing people person and has great judgment and character.
Okay, you both said customer experience. So, which it is a blend, obviously, but can we talk through what is that customer experience? What is the vision?
Sure.
I walk into Bravo Toast. Tony, I heard about this place down the street.
Mm.
They say it's a great spot to go into.
Mm.
I love avocado and I love toast.
Okay.
It's the new hamburger, by the way.
Let's go.
And it's the trend. And it's always cool. The vibe's amazing. So we walk in. Now, you're going to play out for Tony and I, you know, the bubble above our head as we walk through. So we're in there. We're going to buy this toast. And what are we thinking? What are we feeling?
You're definitely feeling relaxed, welcomed.
Very welcomed, yeah.
A place that you could hang out all day, despite the fact maybe it's not the best for business for people to be hanging out there all day. We are saying, yes, let's make this a place people are super comfortable, and it feels like a part of their home. You know, that the park across the street from your office and across the street from us, that was our compass in designing the place. And we want to feel like, hey, that's the Doheny Fountain Park. If that's somebody's backyard, what does their kitchen look like? And then that's what Bravo Toast really, we want it to feel like, your kitchen, your where you meet with friends, where you meet with clients, really a place that you could be there all day. We have offerings that kind of span the afternoon and early evening.
So is it comfortable chairs? Is it the design? And so, like, what makes us feel so relaxed?
One thing is you'll look good if you take a picture of Bravo Toast, I'll tell you that much. We want maybe not be the most comfortable seating, but
good lighting.
You'll look great. Exactly. I mean, you'd rather be, you know, yeah, exactly. So definitely look really good. And you're going to learn something when you walk in. That I promise. Whether it's about health, whether it's about a new product that just is a local product or a product that just came onto the market, you're going to go away learning a new song, discovering a new artist, something you'll take away.
How do you do that? Is it on the board? Or do you have like a TV screen? Like,
no, that's what we love to do is find playing amazing music. We have so many friends that are in the music industry and create playlists. I mean, it's so simple, yet it's an opportunity to educate our customers and make them say, oh shit, let's go to Bravo Toast. Let's go back because, you know,
is there one spot in Bravo Toast that you think people are going to want to take their photos the most?
Yeah, we have our walls and corners that we're kind of scoping out.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about the Easter egg and, you know, and all about the discovery. That's really what it's about, I'd say.
Got it. And what happens when you do get that person? Like, I can tell you the Starbucks around the corner. I don't go and hang out there and it's around the corner. The reason I don't go and hang out there is the type of customers that hang out there. And you'll get some people, literally, they bring their home office to Starbucks and they have like computers, or it's like very cruisy. You know, this one's very gay, or it's like homeless. There's a lot of homeless, especially in our neighborhood, right? There's a lot. And we see them walking up and down our street. And how do you ensure that this is a good vibe? And
it's tough. It's homeless distract from every business. I don't care if you're the nicest place in Beverly Hills. There's homeless people coming up to you right now. That's not something that we're going to necessarily solve overnight. I mean, I went to...
It's kind of out of our control at that point.
When we were in
school,
who
walks through your door.
Yeah, when we were in school, it was, you know, that's the number one topic talked about, at least
really
when my major, I went to USC for real estate or public policy. The number one thing talked about was how do we solve LA's homeless crisis that isn't a new crisis. It's been this way since the 20s.
I mean, yeah, and we both went to USC, so especially downtown. I mean, on campus, you'd see them.
We were going to open up Bravo Toast. We started this concept idea, mm-hmm. I'd say February 2020.
Yeah, like January.
February
2020. Pre-COVID.
And we had a space in downtown. We were negotiating the lease of it. And almost overnight, downtown went from a place that was definitely edgier and
on the rise.
Yeah, on the rise. It's still rough around the edges to overnight it being sent back 30 years in terms of just how kind of rough it was down there. So we pivoted and we happened to stumble upon this great spot that we found next to you, obviously. And so, but definitely that's not something that is easy to figure out. And, you know, we're trying our best to make sure that it is a incubated experience, put it that way.
Yeah, and that you have good customers and, you know, a good vibe and feel safe. You know, I'm friends with the owners of Rawberry. I don't know if you've been to Rawberry. They do acai, amazing acai. It's across from here on Santa Monica. Similar, except they're just acai and they get it from Australia. And it's so good. It's like this amazing, I love acai. And they got stalked by a customer who literally wrote like horrible reviews. because they asked him not to, I think, work, like, because he was loud on his phone, something along those lines. And to the point where it's a family business and it was two sisters and they have to work from the back area because it's been a little dangerous for him, which is just, it's so interesting. You can literally sell an $8 product and deal with difficult customers. And customers today, you know, I think it was Anthony Bourdain who said he hated Yelp. He thought it was like horseshit, because it's really unfortunate that people can, especially in the service business with food, have one experience and then literally
tarnish like your reputation.
Yeah, and all the hard work,
a one star review can kill you. And it's
your food service business. You are the number one most scrutinized, number one. And living in Los Angeles, is a lot of crazy people out here. People are out to get you. You know what I mean? So you, something you have to be very vigilant on. And I mean, there's every horror story in the book when it comes to restaurants, put it that way.
I'm sure you know all of them.
Speaking of rude customers, Mike, I want to play something out really quick, if you don't mind.
Me. Yeah.
I'm a customer in your store, right? I walk up to the counter and say one of you guys is back there. I want to speak to the owner because this toast tastes like shit. I don't like it. I want my money back. What are you going to say?
Sure. Done.
Just give me my money back.
No question. Yeah, that's something you can't fight with people when it comes to, they don't like it. Can't fight with them.
Yeah, you have to put yourself in their shoes. I mean, if I got something horrible that I didn't like, I would like to be refunded. Or
you might just
say,
I just don't like it. I mean, it could be the way we're serving it, the most amazing toast, in our opinion, possible. If it's not your taste, doesn't fit your profile, by all means, we'll make you something else or give your money back if you really want. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's not a...
Mr. Bravo Toast isn't greedy. He totally he's a giver of... Mm-hmm. of, you know, you don't like it. You know, Yoshinoya, nice to know ya, you.
Then I want to act up and start yelling, and I want to get everyone's attention.
Then we'll call in our strong men in the back, and they'll Mike will come down and kick you out.
Call me. Mike, can you come by here? Okay, so in terms of customer experience, it sounds like you both are going to lean into that. You both said in terms of new ideas for growth in the business, you're both going to do that together. It's just, you both want to be entrepreneurial.
It's a tag team. I mean, like, you know,
this is our baby right now. And I mean, two newlywed parents. I mean, they're in it together.
I agree. However, once you can get the roles assigned and you're both in your sweet spot of like how you're operating in this puzzle fits together, I find in working with people that it really helps them go, well, Jack's going to handle that. You know, or Nathan's got that. Like, Nathan's already thought about that. And it, because there's so many moving parts and pieces, and sometimes the fun stuff isn't making money. You know, their ideas are like noses. We all have them, right? But initially, you're going to be selling the products you brought today, avocado toast.
And we brought our ricotta toast as well.
Ricotta toast. And then any other products that you're selling?
Yeah, we're going to have a full menu of 5-6 toasts, a full coffee program and smoothies. And
we think our on-tap drinks are going to really change the game, put it that way. And we brought you some of our Arnold Palmer. We call it the Bravo Palmer.
And now is there liquor at Bravo Toast?
We're in the process right now of getting a beer and wine permit.
So, and then the last part is employee issues and firing. So I assume that's going to be Nathan, if he's understanding the laws, because even when you fire someone, there's 10,000 laws. You know, it's not as simple as just going, hey, guy, hey, it didn't work out. All of a sudden, you'll get that employee that goes, they made me do this. And you're like, no, I didn't. Yes, they did. You know, your father's in the business. You guys are, I'm just, Nathan's going to do the firing. He's going to do the hiring. Is that right?
I think it's
the same person. My suggestion to you is the same person should. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't do firing in my company. There's people who work for me who know much more than I do about independent contractors versus employees versus, and we have agencies that help us too, right? That are experts. So initially, I know you're small, but you're launching in less than 2 months. And so I think it's really helpful to just know, like, all right, let's get ahead of it. You know, and let's make it happen. I want this to work out for you guys. And I know that I was poking around, you know, trying to figure out how I could help you guys so that you avoid having situations get in the way of your business and your friendship, because I know I can tell for both of you, that's the last thing you want to see happen. And businesses are unpredictable, especially what we saw over the last year.
And
I'm grateful that you guys are almost done, because if there's any more jackhammering, I was going to lock you guys in a cage.
I know, we felt really bad about that.
Clearly, we'd be running group therapy and the jackhammer's going off, and I'd have therapists texting me. But contractors are difficult. I know how it
is. We told them to give us a warning, but we never got it. So,
yeah, it's the last day of contracting, last day of jackhammering, and it goes for another 5 days. I mean, we
apologize.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. It's fine.
We're building the space out from scratch, which has definitely been a challenge as well.
Is there anything else I could be helpful with?
I mean, one thing I definitely, other than balancing the business and friendship side of things is, and I've talked to other people in just entrepreneurs in general, that just burning out is tough. When you're working 24/7, you go to bed, wake up, and whether you're in the cafe or not, or working behind the counter or not, at least for us, I mean, we're thinking about this stuff all the time. And managing that stress of stuff is definitely, we have weeks and times when it's more difficult than others, for sure. But and that it's your area of expertise as well. It's kind of like, you know.
Well, I think, and why I tapped into this is I think differentiation of roles helps a lot. Because if there's too many people doing two things, then you have more likelihood of burning out, because all of a sudden someone's really running with an idea and the other is already working on the idea, and it can create more stress. I think you run a business that's every day, and that knowing what you're getting into, and it seems like you both know that you're going to have to show up on days you don't want to show up, and people are not going to show up for work one day, and that's just the nature of what it is. I mean, what do you both do for your own mental health now?
What do you do? not enough, no, nothing. I mean, we try to, I mean, talking to each other definitely works out a lot of stuff, you know, and we have a great support system of friends and family.
Yeah, I feel like taking a step back sometimes from the business is necessary, having your own day, like a Sunday, you know.
Are you in relationships? Do you guys have kids?
I have a girlfriend long term. And yeah, she's part of my support system just as much. I mean, she tell her everything and then is definitely helps with the stressful days. And it's good to have somebody to talk to about everything.
But no kids.
No kids.
No kids.
Are you in a relationship?
No.
Single.
Single.
Nice. So it sounds like, I don't know. It's just sometimes it's nice to be single. Maybe I'm projecting. But so it sounds like have you ever been burnt out in your life before? Like when was a time for either one of you that you felt burnt out?
I feel like last summer when we were doing our pop-up in Montauk, because we went from doing literally 6 days of pop-ups once a week to running 7 days a week for 2.5 months straight. And so it was a huge adjustment.
Montauk, New York is a little bit like an island in that there's, you get kind of that, island fever type thing going on out there after a while.
Mm-hmm, 7 days end of the
week.
World.
Yeah, we were 7 days a week working though from 8 a.m. when we opened through 5 p.m. LA
without
time.
Any help.
It was 8 to 8.
Yeah. It was us two.
We were calling contractors and the architects in the city after we finished working at our Bravo bungalow by the beach.
Trying to build out our space. So it was
8 to 8.
Yeah.
For 3 months, 2.5 months basically. Yeah. That was tough. Plus it was really us too. And again, we had a partner too, that was, it was difficult working with him, and because of everything combined and we were staying with my family half the time as well and putting them through living with them. And it was a rough summer. It was a weird summer for everybody, I think, out there just for COVID and stuff, but definitely a strange time. And that was the most burnt out I felt we've ever been.
Well, it sounds like it's figuring out what is your balance of health, right? Outside of food and friends. Like, what is it that you do for yourself that makes you feel a little more free or relaxed or more at peace? and you guys have been going at it, and you felt what it was like to be working, you know, 7 days in a row in Montauk, and you're essentially re-entering that phase, but now you have the opportunity to hire.
And we're smarter now. We know what we did wrong a year ago, and you know,
it's a great learning experience.
Totally. I think that that we're sharper, smarter, stronger after the last year. You know, definitely.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making. Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, "Hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo."
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I'm curious, before we end off, I want to see what you think about the toast.
Oh yeah, I gotta try that. We both gotta try the toast.
Oh, you guys brought up.
We have three here.
Is it? Do we need to? Should we heat it up? Because it's
no. I mean, it's fine. I'd try it. Let us know. I mean,
fine. Let's eat it like this, then, Tony.
You can pretend like you Postmated it from across town or something.
Yeah.
Is there gonna be delivery with you guys, like Postmates? Yeah. It's all that.
Got it. You have to.
Yeah, you have to now.
Some of the stores, it's interesting. They stopped doing Postmates and Uber Eats and just do Grubhub. I don't know why.
I think they do, like, they sign exclusive deals.
Wow, is this the packaging of the bottles?
That's a research and development packaging. We're developing it right now, but we've been using this as kind of like our one of our bottles.
Are there different ones in each?
Yeah, there's two avocado toasts, or our green goddess, we call it, and then one of the ricotta toasts.
It's like our specialty, the green goddess.
Some sugar, sure.
You add some sugar, okay. I was like, oh, sweet.
We make a house simple syrup.
Now, do you add the sugar to the toast?
No.
Okay. Oh, I got the ricotta one.
These are specialties. This is the one item that we're selling in Montauk now.
Yeah. The ricotta.
No, the green goddess.
The avocado. This is a green goddess toast. Yeah.
This is our avocado toast. This is, you know.
It's very attractive. This does look like a good piece. Now, what kind of bread is this?
It's a sourdough. It's a whole wheat sourdough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you going to end up doing gluten-free or no?
Yeah, you like, have to.
You have to, right?
You have to do gluten-free. Yeah. And we're going to have some options for numerous dietary restrictions. I mean, our whole menu. You
want some, Aaron?
No, I just want to see what it looks like.
It's beautiful. Look at this, Aaron.
It looks like a piece of art on toast.
So our whole menu is flexitarian, we call it, in that everything is vegetarian and can be made vegan.
Aaron, will you hand me a napkin if you don't mind? This is good.
Our cheese gets flown in from Brooklyn. You guys got the first
New Yorker.
Best burrata.
Yeah, the best burrata, hands down, I've ever had.
Okay. Come through toast. It is really good.
I don't even like toast and avocado like this, but this is actually really good.
That's the thing. Thanks. We weren't the craziest fans of avocado toast before starting this, and we're like, if people are spending so much money on this, we might as well make it worth it.
Worth your money.
Avocado one now too.
And people tell us, I don't know how many people have told us, oh my God, I make avocado toast every single day.
At home?
Yeah, people tell us all the time, or I eat it out, or at home, they eat avocados every day. So we're like,
Look at this ricotta one. And this is the popular one in Montauk.
No, the green goddess is the...
That's
the
our green goddess. Yeah, that's our avocado toast is the green goddess one. This one.
Do we have a launch date of the business? Like what date it's opening?
Labor Day is what we're aiming for.
Was that September 5th?
Yeah, like the first week of September.
We hope. Maybe soft opening.
Big party.
What is this?
It's just, again, from Brooklyn, the amazing ricotta we get. Honey, lemon zest, some sea salt.
It's really good. These are really good.
It's just a few. So we have like some, probably 6 to 7... all day toast options, and we're developing right now a little bit more.
I like
that
the texture
at evening
of these. I like the seasoning. What seasoning is on this avocado toast?
Some chili flakes.
Chili flakes. And this is called the green goddess, and this one's called
the ricotta toast.
The ricotta. I like it.
You definitely have a customer here.
Yeah, you got one here too. Jack and Nathan, thanks for coming in. I look forward to seeing you guys. Boom. And if you live in LA, and for any of the listeners, go to Bravo Toast. It's right next to Cass Centers, and it's on Doheny in Santa Monica in West Hollywood. and you can have some delicious toast, and maybe I'll even see you over there. And let us know what you thought about today's episode. We would love if you tagged us on Instagram, put in your story, let us know you're listening. And thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you so
much for having us.
All right. The Always Evolving with Coach Mike Bear podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional, medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during this podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professionals.